Okay, I'm calling Ben. Here we go. Calling him on the Zoom. I just want to join. Don't ask me questions. I'm joining. Here we go. And it is audio time. Hello, Ben. Hey, so just so that you know, I plugged my iPad in, but it did not charge. So I'm at 64%, which I think should be enough. But there may be a weird thing where I need to call in.
You don't have a way to plug it in down there?
Well, I do have a way to plug it in down here, but it is also the port that I use to plug in my Wi-Fi. I mean, my Ethernet thing. Should be fine. If it turns out that we lose power, I will plug in and okay, so here's the plan. If I lose power, I will plug the iPad in and call back using Wi-Fi down here. But I will continue to talk.
All right.
And we'll establish a connection in that manner. Hey! By the way, when people listen to this, I will be 50 years old. I am not 50 at this time.
This is true. Your birthday is on Monday.
Yes, and I will not be 50 at the next recording that we play because we're doing a twofer. We're banking an episode. Yeah, as they say.
So let me wish you a happy birthday, Paul.
Hey,
you're
thanks,
50.
Ben.
Did you know you're 50?
I do like that. The do you know that you're for children, usually. Did you know you're 3? That sort of thing. I believe, Ben, at one point in time, I might have gotten you a birthday card for a 3-year or 4-year-old girl. I saw it and I thought that it would be funny. I don't know if that actually happened or not, but I think I did. And I don't think it was your birthday either.
It's just on any occasion, here's a birthday card for a 3-year-old girl. I'm just
exactly.
going to give you randomly.
You're 3! And just a picture of a kid. Actually, right. Actually fun. So, have you been watching Mrs. Davis?
No.
I just watched the first half of it, and so I'm thinking more about it. It's pretty crazy. The other thing, of course, is, you know, this isn't Ben's gonna guess the news because you already know it. Writer's strike happening.
Right
now. And somebody mentioned that the rise of reality television owed at least some of its staying power.
Popularity?
Or whatever. Yeah, from writer's strikes, because they didn't have to pay people at that point. So, interesting to see maybe what comes out of this one as well. I'm thinking that we are going to see stuff written by AI.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why the writers are striking.
Yep. And funny things, you know, that they write, those writers. That's the best. They've often said the best protests are the writer's strike protests because of the witty signs that they have.
Signs are funny.
Which I'm not going to say out of respect for the writer's copyright. which is nice. But we were watching Jennifer and I were watching a reality TV show, which I'm going to look up on my phone. And I know we're not normally supposed to do this, but I'm just looking up my search history on this phone. And it was called... Oh, that's interesting. Missing, : dead or alive, ? Missing, : okay. Missing... : dead or alive.
Dead or alive.
And here's the thing. I don't know
sort
if it
like
was just the mood that I was in or what, but the TV show, I was watching, I'm like, this is better than it needs to be. And they were, because they were doing, you know, it's a reality show where they're following these missing persons investigators as they do their job and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there's stuff that happens, like there's a shot of the house and the shot moves closer to the house in a way that it doesn't have to, but it does. And they show the person walking through. They use in slow motion while they're walking, stuff like that.
There's some production value behind this.
There's production value behind it, and people are mad. People are mad about this show. 5 stars total. Lots of one star reviews, and it's like, this is scripted and this is BS, and I can't believe people are taking in thinking this is a real thing. Now, as you know, Ben, I have my own feelings about things of this nature. Anytime that someone has a microphone on them, right? When someone's mic'd, it's not, yes, there's stuff going on. You know, there are things going on. So I'm not of the opinion that this is necessarily a bad thing, right? The fact that everyone is saying this is scripted, you know, too coincidental, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's because, in my opinion, it's because of the production value. It's blurring the line of, it's like this. If it is scripted, you know, other things are scripted too. And it looks better.
I think what we've gotten away from as a TV viewing public is that we take reality TV for documentaries, whereas those are two very different genres.
Absolutely.
I've been watching this show on Hulu. It's like, at the end of the day, if I've already seen like the prestige television episodes that I want to watch, I just want to like wind down with brain candy, like nonsense TV shows. Normally it's about cars, and it's just like the last thing I watch before I go to bed if it's kind of late at night, but I'm not ready to get into bed, right? There's a show on Hulu. I think it's called, this is how much I pay attention, I think it's called Lost Cars, and it's about this Canadian team that searches the Canadian wilderness for abandoned cars that they rescue. Lost Car Rescue, that's the name of it.
Ah, okay.
And so they find these old classic cars that have been abandoned in the woods or in swamps or whatever. They rescue them, put them on this tractor trailer, and like that's the end of the episode. You assume they take them into town, they auction them off or sell them off to collectors who will subsequently restore them.
Right.
But these abandoned cars are very obviously placed where they find them. You know, yes. They look a little too good to be like have been sitting in this one spot for 50 years. And you know what? I don't care.
And they're like, oh, here's what that, like they preach. Like it's you're both lying to each other and it's fine. And well, you're not lying, but you're buying into the lie.
I'm buying into the lie.
Suspension of disbelief.
It's a weird thing that had happened to like speech cadence for these reality television shows. I first started noticing it when I first got cable at Mr. House, and like I turned on the Discovery Channel because that's the first thing you do when you get cable back in the mid 2000s was you turn on the Discovery Channel, and there was an episode of a show called American Chopper. And it's this father-son team that build motorcycles.
Yes.
And the cadence that the son had was a very specific way of speaking that is not a natural way of speaking. But I noticed that it's permeated throughout the entire like sort of reality show genre. And I'm gonna try to do it for you now. Let's see. So my dad and I, wait, no, first I have to come up with something to say. My dad and I are trying to build this motorcycle, and we're not really good at it, but we keep trying, and someday we're gonna get good at it. He's really good at it, I'm trying. We get into arguments a lot, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like this presentational, but sort of like mixed in, like sort of like this mid-Atlantic accent, but mixed in with like local flavor where they all sort of take on the same timbre. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. A lot of people come into my restaurant and say that they want some sort of food. Well, let me tell you, I've got food, and if they want to eat it, I'm here to serve it to them.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like that, right? Oh my gosh, and then you and I didn't talk about this beforehand.
We never talk about anything beforehand.
So the thing that I noticed, Ben, do you remember when I did TikTok? I was doing TikToks. There were
I do remember
TikToks
when you did that.
Did you ever see the TikTok I did that was the famous one where I did the boots with the fur over the top of Time of Your Life?
I may have.
Yeah, that got million plus views on TikTok. And the thing is that, you know, the music starts off, right? Somebody else is playing guitar. I'm singing over the top of it. And
was it a duet?
No. He's playing guitar and I'm singing over the top of it.
No, that's what I mean. He had a video where he played guitar.
Yes, in TikTok speak, it was a duet. I became old for a second, almost 50, Ben. A duet? No, he was playing guitar and I was singing. Technically, I think maybe musically that's still a duet. I don't know for sure, but I think it's possible.
Anyway.
So he plays that thing and all that, and there were other people who duetted me. And the thing that I became kind of obsessed with and a little annoyed by is that there were two types of people who said, and they both said the same thing. They both said, I was asked to blind react to this. And then they're listening, you know, and then they hit the point where it's where the Apple Bottom Jeans lyrics come in, and then they start laughing. And there were two different types of people. One type would be listening, and the other type would be actively listening like this. Like that. And
for those on the podcast, Paul is just making confused faces.
Sorry. A pulling faces, as one would say, perhaps. A little bit too over-interested and all that. And I would always be able to tell when someone had watched it all the way through and then redone their reaction, or when they were actually doing the reaction. And the second one is, again, that sort of reality TV thing of where you are acting and pretending like you're pretending like you're natural. It's one of those weird things that has been brought up before, that the reason why they hire actors for reality TV shows sometimes is because actors can actually pretend like they don't know they're being filmed in a certain way that comes off as being natural. Whereas if you're a real person who knows you're being recorded, trying to act natural, you can't do it oftentimes.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird.
That's another thing that happens in these reality TV shows where, like, in my experience, because mostly I just watch ones that deal with cars, as I've said, when they go to visit people to talk about, the cars, A of all, they're already wearing a mic, so you know something's up. But B of all, they never acknowledge the camera crew.
Yep.
And, like, I think if, like, somebody did a reality. Someone was doing a reality TV show about Seattle Fringe Theaters and just showed up here, I'd be like, "Hey guys, what's going on?"
Yeah, exactly. And the whole concept of the person who is being like they're meeting someone for the first time, but they've already had like a 30-minute conversation with them while they're getting, you know, mic'd up and everything like that.
I was reading a Reddit AMA, an Ask Me Anything, where somebody asked the question, for anybody who has been on Pimp My Ride, what was your experience? And so Pimp My Ride was this TV show on MTV hosted by Exhibit, I believe.
Yes, it
was
Exhibit.
Where they took these POS cars and pimped them. And so a meme was actually formed from this, because if somebody was like, I need my car for work, but I also like video games, they would just shove like three PS2s inside this car, making it completely unusable for work. But anyway,
I heard you liked video games, so I got you a video game so you could play video games while you play video games.
Exactly. Exhibit. So one of the people that actually found this AMA on Reddit and had their car pimped by MTV and Exhibit said that, of course, you know, it was all planned out beforehand. Like the car took like months to fix, whereas the episodes are only like a half an hour. But the interesting thing is when they tell you, when you see the car for the first time after it's been pimped, just pump up your reactions by like tenfold. And this guy was saying, the first take, I wasn't excited enough, so we had to do it all over again. And I had to be more excited when I saw the car, and that still wasn't excited enough. So they had to hide the car again, then, you know, drive it back, and then pull the curtain back, and then I had to be like really super excited to see my car, even though I wasn't excited at all. So I just thought that was kind of a fun little insight into what was obviously not a scripted show, but a, you know, in quotes, reality show.
I think you remember at one point in time I was doing were you on set for what was the name of that? I was the capitulator. It was a short that Evan was in. He played the title character.
Is this an S.J. Chiro movie?
S.J. Chiro.
On that set, no.
It was the A something or other. It started with an E. Anyway, point is, all I was supposed to do was, I had my afro picked out. I had my afro all picked out. And I was ready to put it on. No, I had my afro picked out. I was supposed to nod like this.
Yeah.
I'm nodding for the people who are listening in audio. And we did so many takes, I forgot how nodding worked. At the end of it, I was like, I don't know if this is working or not anymore. I was apologizing and all that, because when you do that many takes, I don't know if you've ever done that many takes, Ben, but eventually it's like saying a word over and over again. It's like,
no,
none of this makes sense to me anymore.
I'm really good. I only have to do a couple takes at most.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those of you who are seeing the stream, you don't know what's happening on the audio.
But I was actually just going to say, it's like that. There's a word for it, but when you say a word over and over again, it just starts to lose all meaning.
Yeah, what's the word for that?
I can't remember.
Oh, no. Man.
But I'm sure if you say that word over and over again,
yeah, that's, would be... yep, that's it. Ben, you read my mind, sir. That was exactly what I was wondering. Because if you knew what the word was, then you and I could say it over and over again until... Okay, let's find out. Let's find out what it is.
Yeah.
All right, let's see who can find it first. When... You have a keyboard.
Semantic satiation.
Semantic satiation.
It's a phenomenon whereby the uninterrupted repetition of a word eventually leads to a sense that the word has lost its meaning. This effect is also known as semantic saturation or verbal satiation.
So satiation, I think, is a hard enough word that saying it over and over again doesn't count. What are the other options?
Semantic saturation.
Okay, let's say semantic saturation. Semantic saturation.
Paul, I think we just wrote our next album.
We did it. Let's. Oh man, I gotta say, Ben. This playing around. I only have three things that I've made so far, and they're all very short. They're all just very short loops. But I'm enjoying playing around with the old GarageBand.
Oh yeah.
With the bend and the stretch and the all that. Yeah. There's one that I really like. That's just called Relentless, and it's these horns that just keep on going over and over again with this beat behind them. And the idea that I have for a visual that goes along with it is somebody just walking down a series of hallways in a series of buildings, and you cut it so that it looks like they're just walking down one really long hallway forever, but they're all different places. I think it would be really great. Do you remember that that movie Pi, Ben? Do you remember Pi?
I do remember Pi. In fact, I have a story about Pi that I will tell you after you say what you're thinking.
I believe someone did American Pi, which was a mashup between Pi and American Pie. I'm almost positive.
Clever.
But I was going to say Pi is getting a re-release.
Yeah, like in 35, even though it was filmed in like 16.
Yeah, just totally digitally remastered and stuff, which is
pretty
cool.
Have you seen Pi lately? I watched it recently because I have the DVD, and there are some scenes that is just, they're just super grainy because it's in black and white 16mm, and like, what is that going to look like blown up to 35?
I'm thinking that probably, I'm just guessing here, but I bet you that there is some really good After Effects stuff happening.
Like, see, that's the thing. I was wondering if they were going to clean that up.
Maybe even, like, you've seen the AI, blow up things that I think Scott O'Moore has posted some of them.
I was pausing for you. I don't know what Scott O has posted, but I was, like I said, I would be interested to see the 35mm render of it, just to see if they do anything with it.
Yeah.
Like, why would you bother?
Have you seen the trailer?
I have not.
There's a trailer for it, and I saw the trailer. It looked good. That's why I was thinking about it. Let's see. News-wise...
I was visiting... a friend in Brooklyn recently.
Brooklyn,
New York. And I was, they live in a brownstone, and I was hanging out, there are these bay windows in the back. And so I was sitting in this chair in this bay window area, and I look over and I see the neighbor walks out on the porch. And
do you,
like,
know this neighbor, or is he just a neighbor for your friend?
I didn't know. At the time, I didn't know this neighbor. He walks out. He's, like, wearing a hat, looks at his phone, like, makes a call, walks back inside. And they're like, what are you looking at? I'm just spying on your neighbor on his back porch. And they say, do you know the movie Pi? And I'm like, yes, of course I know that movie Pi. And they say, that is Sean. He's the star of Pi.
Wow.
And then they were like, nobody knows that movie. I bring that up to everybody who sees Sean. And you're the first person who's ever known that movie. And I'm like, of course that's Darren Aronofsky's first film. Of course I know who that
is. Yeah. Did you get a chance to meet him, or did you just look at him?
No, I just looked at him. However, if I ever go back, I'm bringing my DVD and I'm going to knock on his door.
Like, yeah.
Can I have you sign my DVD?
Also,
my low-res DVD.
Yeah, exactly. Also, did you know that they really redid it? How do you feel about it?
You getting any more money?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Don't even get me started. The whole reason I was thinking about it is that Pi, you know, had that camera that was attached to him that he wore, which is kind of cool. That they only really used in that movie, and I think Peter Gabriel.
I'm sure there are other films where they do that POV where the performer is wearing the camera right there. But yeah, that was the first time I ever saw that.
Yeah. Like I said, I know that David Byrne did it. Not David Byrne. Peter Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel.
Contemporaries, sort of. I like that David... Here's the thing, and I know this sounds crazy, but David Byrne, born in Scotland, but then immigrated to the United States. Lived in the United States for most of his life. I believe is an American citizen, I believe.
I actually did not know he was born in Scotland.
Yeah, he mentions it. Funny, Ben. He mentions it.
Does he mention it in American Utopia?
In America, or no, he actually only mentions it once in American Utopia. But you have seen it twice. It's when he's introducing the band. And he mentions that many of them are immigrants.
Yeah.
And we couldn't do it without them, he said. And it's true.
Yep.
And
Did you know that movie was directed by Spike Lee?
Yes, I did. I saw they had a little bit of a little chat afterwards about, I believe, She's Gotta Have It, and how that really influenced David Byrne to start doing stuff on his own without big labels and stuff.
I was going to say without the Talking Heads.
Yeah, ooh, well, you know, it is funny.
They don't like each other. I think he gets along with Jerry, but I don't think he gets along very much with Tina Weymouth and the drummer whose name I can never remember.
Well, this is the thing. In the middle of, I think it stopped making sense, I want to say, David Byrne leaves the stage and the Tom Tom Club plays.
Yeah.
And that was them. That was them without David Byrne.
Yeah.
Which I thought was...
And when I listen to Stop Making Sense, I always skip that song.
Yep.
James Brown! James Brown!
I don't even... Yep. Don't even know. Don't even know. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. If I were David Byrne, I wouldn't like it.
I saw their induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they're all there. But they do a live set at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame after their induction, and honestly, they sounded terrible. I felt really bad.
Well, all I can say is that David Byrne, American Utopia, sounds great.
Yes.
So.
Hey, Drunk is here. He says, what's up?
Hey, Drunk, what's up?
Yeah, you're right. We are doing two episodes at once because I will not be around next week. So we're putting one in the can.
Yep. Hey, speaking of one in the can.
Two in the bush.
Hey. And I actually didn't have anything to add. I thought that was nice to...
Pulled a face.
Yeah, you did a good job there. Oh, what I was going to say is I now have an appointment with the doctor that I saw to go over my test results. This is the mental doctor.
I thought you were talking about the pooping in a box test.
No, but I did poop in the box, Ben. No, oh, yeah? Let's talk about
it. Was it for
this.
The doctor, or were you just practicing?
You got to poop in a box every once in a while. But, so, when you did it, right, because we talked a little bit about, did you have the thing that goes under the toilet seat?
Yeah, so like I said, what I was provided was like a piece of tissue paper that you lay on, like between the toilet seat and the bowl, right?
Yeah.
And it actually goes on top of the water, too. And then you poop onto that, so it doesn't sink. It stays floating on the top of the water.
I got something completely different. I got a little bucket that fits into this. There's a holder for the little bucket that goes underneath the toilet seat and the lid. And then the little collection bucket goes in there. You poop into that. You take out the little swab and you put it in the thing. Yeah. And now, so here's the thing. I didn't get a lot of poop on that thing. In fact, it said just to cover the grooves. So I might have gotten too little, and I'm worried that they're going to say, but here's the thing, that they're going to say I didn't get enough on it. They also have in big letters, do not fill.
Yeah, I know. The collection tube. I did that same thing. When I put the collection sample in like the safety bag, to deliver it to the clinic, I'm like, there cannot be enough on here to collect a sample because that says the same thing on mine too. Is like, do not load it up.
Well, here's my other question. Mine has a little bucket that you're like, you put the whole, so there's the whole poop that's in
and
there.
And nothing but the poop.
And you cover that with a liquid and close that thing, right? And then there's also a little sample thing. A little sample thing is next to it.
Oh, I didn't get that.
And here's the thing, is that they say, like, do not fill this thing with your poop. Don't put the collection tube in the thing with the poop in it. I just imagine the equivalent of the dead letter office there, of just all the things that people did wrong. It's got to be crazy.
And why they had to very specifically say certain things.
Yeah, like you're not supposed to pee in it. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. Like you
make sure
you
it's your poop and not a family member.
Exactly. Don't just grab anybody's poop. Don't just grab anybody's poop. That's
it's the name of
words
our third
to live
album.
By. Yeah, exactly. Ooh, I don't think so, Ben. No. No. Strong no.
Semantic satiation.
Semantic satiation. I don't think Drunk was there for that, was he?
No, it just showed up.
Yeah.
Maybe
you missed
left
it
again.
And that's fine. Oh, well.
You can go back.
Yeah. We have to go back. Ben.
It's your kids, Marty.
Oh boy. I'm looking forward to that documentary, actually.
Which documentary is
There's a Michael J. Fox documentary just about his
his life about and his stuff. Battles with Parkinson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of documentaries, I've been watching a documentary. It's on Hulu. It's called Dear Mama, and it's about Tupac Shakur.
Oh.
And I've never, I mean, aside from his stint with Digital Underground, I was never really a listener of Tupac Shakur's music. Of course, I knew who he was and all that. But the documentary is remarkably well done and actually messes with the documentary form a little bit. But it very thoroughly goes through Tupac's life. And like how much he was a young activist at a very early age, you know, and how the world changed him and how he became who he was by the end of his life.
Hmm.
Highly recommended. Called Dear Mama on Hulu.
Dear Mama.
It's the name of one of his songs.
Something about, you know, the world changing people and things like that. one of the things that always kind of blew my mind, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, there's a movie called Wild in the Streets that's about children becoming like young kids, you know, teens becoming a major political party or not. I mean, there is a political party that the
movement.
Kids do. Right, exactly. And they, like, take over the government and stuff. It's kind of weird. But there's a kid in this movie, a young Richard Pryor.
Really?
Who's just an actor in it. And, you know, he does a good job and everything. But then Richard Pryor, the comic, you know, goes on to make movies and stuff like that. But he wasn't, at least as far as I know, Richard Pryor, the comic at that point. And, you know, you get this image in your head, at least I do, of Richard Pryor coming up in the comedy world and then making it into movies. But he was a movie star prior to that.
Right.
Which is interesting to me.
Yeah.
And it's also one of those things of whenever you find out, like, oh, this person is this famous actor's, you know, child. It's always weird also for me.
Nepo babies.
Betty is not a Nepo baby. But if she
were in... Nepo babies as opposed to Nepo wafers, which are tasty Halloween treats.
Exactly. If she had become a Seattle Fringe Theater performer, then maybe she could be considered a Nepo baby. But
and getting all that sweet Seattle Fringe Theater cash.
Oh, hey, that's something else. Prom, Ben, is on Saturday.
Will Betty be going to prom?
Yes. Not with anyone.
Going except, stag.
You know, just friends, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I went to my homecoming, I think it was. Yeah. Maybe I went to prom. Maybe it was prom. I don't know. But I
did
went
you
with
ask someone.
Someone
out?
I did, yeah. But then it was one of these weird situations where I asked someone out and then they ended up dating a friend of mine instead. And I ended up going with someone who my sister went with this person's boyfriend. And then so then she was my date.
Yeah.
It was very bizarre.
I mean, you're one up on me. I never went to any of my high school dances. Only once did I ever muster up the courage to ask someone that I had a crush on to the dance, and she couldn't go, which I took as a rejection, but it was more of like, I should have like asked her out on another date, you know, that wasn't connected to school dance.
Did you find that out later?
Yeah. I found that out later, yeah.
Yeah, there's always that at least that one person who you're like, you should have asked me, you never did.
Yeah,
And now I'm married, you know, or whatever. And so that would be funny. Do a thing with Jennifer where it's like, you know, I really liked you, and she was like, well, you should have asked me out. Well, I mean, we're married. Right, but you should have asked me out then. It's
too late now.
Yeah, it is possible. Famously, Scott Aukerman refers to Kulap Vilaysack as his ex-girlfriend because he's now married to her, and so she's not his girlfriend anymore. It's funny.
Yes.
And now we've talked about it on our podcast.
Which is
nice. So let's see. We are in the year 2023, Ben. And it is May. Currently it's May 11th.
May 11th, yeah.
And we're going to play Ben's going to guess the news. And you should be able to guess it, but you might not because, you know, I don't know how popular this story is. It might be sneaking under the radar.
I only have a high-level overview of the news.
Okay, so something is over. What is the thing that is over, Ben?
Gosh, does this have something to do with the TTRPG industry?
No, it doesn't. Interesting. Oh. What was the thing that you were thinking of?
No, I'm trying to narrow it down, and that's generally the stuff that you pay attention to.
Yeah, okay.
Does this have something to do with politics?
Not really. It became a political issue, but it's not really anything
something
to do with
politics. Something to do with entertainment?
No.
Something to do with sports?
No.
Something to do with, well, what is there but sports and entertainment?
Yeah.
Something came to an end. Did this thing come to an end suddenly and without warning?
In a way. No, I'll say this. It was coming to an end, and then somebody said, okay, this is over.
Is this Elon Musk stepping down as CEO of Twitter?
No, did that happen?
I saw a tweet, so who knows if it's true.
Yeah.
Twitter's rebranding onto some other weird name and CEO's passing the torch, or Elon Musk is passing the torch, but it's not that.
Okay, weird. All right.
It's not politics, it's not sports, it's not entertainment. This has something to do with, the supply chain.
Wow. No. No, that's interesting.
So it's something around something like that.
I'm wondering if the supply chain will be affected. It might be.
This is a product that came to an end.
No.
Your Honor, I'm going to need another hint.
Okay. For a while, there was disagreement about whether or not this thing was over. But now everyone official is agreeing.
Is it science based?
Yes, it is science based.
Does it have something to do with planets?
No.
Okay, so it's not like the is Pluto or isn't Pluto a planet?
It has something to do with maybe the most important planet, but only because it's the venue.
So it's something here on Earth.
Yes.
Does it have to do with climate change?
No. Only tangentially, maybe. But no. And you'll see why afterwards.
People were arguing whether or not it did come to an end. Does this have something to do with people? Or is it a natural phenomenon?
It has to do with people. And also, it's a natural phenomenon. But people are central to it.
So people caused this.
Sorry. There's debate over whether or not people caused this. And especially
it's not climate change?
Which people. But in general, it probably is not people related as far as the creation of it goes. It might be more natural than that. But again, this is a big controversy.
A big controversy.
Over whether or not people created it.
God.
No, Ben, no.
Nothing to do with religion.
I mean, people claim that their religion has something to do with it, but really, really, it's not. You know,
is it a disease?
Yes, Ben, it is a disease.
A disease has come to an end. Is it, are people saying that COVID is over?
COVID, regulation, anything dealing with being safe around COVID is done. According to the, to President Biden in the United States.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Of course, yeah. The pandemic is over. Congratulations, everybody. We did it.
Yes. Speaking of which, my friend Brad's wife has COVID.
Yeah.
Found out about it on Sunday.
It's not over. No.
After my Dungeons and Dragons game with Brad, he said, I found out my wife has COVID, everybody. So far, he doesn't have it. So far, I don't have it. But fun.
I got an alert on my phone just earlier today. Mm-hmm. It was an exposure notification. And I'm like, oh, crap, an exposure notification. And then I open it up and it's like, we're notifying you that this is going to be sunsetted and no longer in use.
Yep. Exposure notification. I open it up. Some guy's dick. Here it
Bam,
is.
Bam, you've been notified.
How did he write that? So that's the big thing is that depending on where you work or whatever, if there were mandates to like check your temperature, do all that, none of that's happening anymore. It's all over.
Yeah.
And so that's why when you said, is it religious? It's like, well, some people are saying yes. Is it man-made? Yeah. Well, some people are saying it. You know.
Yeah. It's sort of political.
Oh, hey, by the way, you used to do a podcast about comic books.
Which the Perfect Bound podcast.
Into comic books a little bit. Are you still into comics or do you not really read them that much anymore?
I'll buy a trade here and there. I wouldn't say I'm current. I'm sort of like playing catch up. Like I'm reading Saga. I'm like not currently,
Saga's
but
good.
I've read the first two trades. I have the second two on my shelf waiting for me. I'm just trying to catch up on all the classics, but I wouldn't say I'm a comic book reader. I'm more of a comic book adjacent reader.
The reason I mentioned is that there is a new collection that I've been reading, called The Department of Truth. I think that's the name of it. And it's really good. And also I read the comic that Resident Alien is based on.
Yeah.
Resident Alien, I think the liberties that they take to make it a TV show are good. The comic is really interesting, but it's not the TV show. Yeah. Sometimes, like, The Boys feels like the comic in a lot of ways.
Oh, I have The Boys Omnibus Volume 2 on my shelf, too, that I haven't read yet.
Yeah. But I didn't really read The Boys that much. I've only, glance through it, so I might be wrong on that.
Speaking of The Boys,
yeah.
So the actress who plays Kimiko, Karen Fukuhara, she's a voice artist, and she does a voice in this Netflix cartoon called Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts, which is actually a delightful cartoon. She also plays Kipo.
Okay.
And apparently, she's also in She-Ra, which I did not know.
The Kipo thing, I think you told me about already, but the She-Ra thing, I may not have known about. And that's cool. I haven't seen it. What's the guy's name who did Samurai Jack?
Dennis Tartakovsky?
Yeah. New thing, from there as well. It's got the word unicorn in it.
I was at St. John's last weekend, and they were playing the Powerpuff Girls, like, on repeat on the TV. And that's a Tartakovsky joint, right? Because I thought I saw his name in the end credits.
I think that might be, yeah. I wasn't really tracking it as much, but...
I was never... I was never, that's after my time of watching cartoons.
He did, my favorite Star Wars property, in cartoon form, which was, I think it was called The Clone Wars, but I could be wrong though. But it wasn't the 3D animation, it was cell animation. And there's a wonderful thing with Mace Windu as he's fighting a whole bunch of, Imperial stuff. It's just amazing.
I'm not seeing his name in the credits on IMDb, so maybe he just had like
a thanks or something.
Maybe a thanks or something. Yeah,
maybe
I don't know
he didn't
if I
do it. Maybe you're just wrong.
Maybe I didn't even see his name, and I saw somebody else's name that just looked like a Tartakovsky name.
It is possible. You never know for sure. So I'm pretty happy with... Did I mention this already, that we got another car after Jennifer's accident? I might not have mentioned it.
You mentioned that you went to go look at a car and had a not good experience with the salesperson.
Oh, well, I mean, my experience was fine. but he kept on calling Jennifer a little lady and stuff like that. Which
no, you
didn't
tell me that part. What I know is that you were like, you have to pay in cash, and you're not gonna.
Oh, that one.
Oh,
sorry.
This is a
different guy. Sorry. Those guys still weird. Weird. And here's the other thing: is that they're wrong. They don't know their business. Because when we bought this other car, right, we were like, hey, we want to pay some money on this, but I guess we can't because we don't have the money for a down pay. Like, do we write a check? Do we do? I guess we can't use debit. And they're like, no, you can. You just have to increase your debit limit because you can temporarily increase it. So we did. And it was fine. And we could have done that with this other car, but was not what happened.
I don't even know. Last time I bought a car, I paid cash, which also means I wrote a check.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't like hand over a suitcase full of you know, $100 bills. But I've never gotten to the point where I've reached my daily debit card limit just because I don't spend that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually, speaking of cars, I got into my car, I think this was on Tuesday. I had gone to a film shoot on Beacon Hill and came back, dropped equipment off here at the theater, went back to my car, and the car started but then immediately died. And it's the first time I've ever had any problem with this car whatsoever. I bought it in March of 2021. And then I finally got it started. It died a couple times, but I finally got it started. Drove it directly to my auto repair shop, which is the dealership in Ballard.
Yeah.
And so they called me today and just gave me a laundry list of everything that's wrong with the car.
Oh, no.
And so now I get to the repair bill for everything is roughly 30% of the total cost of what I paid initially for the car.
Oh, that's too bad.
So
I don't like that. Yeah.
I didn't like it either, but what am I going to do?
Yeah, true. True story. So the new car that we have is a Prius. Again, just like my car. Mine is a 2006. This one is a 2015.
So now you have two Prii.
That's right. That is correct. And the hope is that, of course, you know, that this other one will last as long as mine has. I'm driving mine. Right. You know, it's duct taped together. Not duct tape. Zip tied together. And I'm just going to keep on driving it till the wheels fall off, basically.
That's what you got to do.
And we'll see what happens.
You can not wait for the wheels to fall off and block traffic. You can get rid of it and get a dependable car.
Well, my car is dependable.
Well, yeah, now. So, but if you drive it for another 10 years, it might not be. So maybe...
Right. It's a real ship of Theseus kind of thing. I mean, I've been slowly replacing different parts of it and all that, so...
That was my Tercel. I think by the time I finally got rid of it, I had replaced almost everything on the car.
Yeah. It's
like
worth it.
Functional, like drivetrain related.
I like it. But yeah, I do like the idea of a band called the Ship of Theseus. Have we talked about that already?
Have we?
I don't know.
Obviously, I forget things that we've talked about.
They replaced their lead singer with a new lead singer. And then the guitarist leaves and replaces it with the guitarist. Bass player leaves, replace the bass player. Drummer leaves, replace the drummer. And then but they're still called Ship of Theseus. And then the original members get back together. And are they still the Ship of Theseus? That's the different version of it. Because in the original Ship of Theseus, you know, it's just you've replaced everything. Is it still the ship? But if But if you put all the other pieces together, you know, it's different and more fun to think about.
God, I want to say something similar to that has happened where the lead singer of a band left, but the band kept playing original name. And then the lead singer wanted to start a new band and wanted to use his name. And there's, like, you know, probably lawsuits and all that fun stuff.
I want to say that something similar to that happened. Is it Steve Perry from Journey?
Yeah.
Journey, you know, had their new lead singer and they played and everything like that. And then Steve Perry, like, just showed up somewhere and started playing, I'm sure that, you know, it was...
he was booked.
But he played his songs and he sang and he was just as good as he had been, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's really nice. And I think both those things can happen and it can be fine.
Yeah.
I feel like. We have been 3 minutes.
3 minutes in episode 376.
If I've got this right, I'm going to keep on recording. We're going to say goodbye, but we're not ending the stream, and we're not.
And then I'll separate them when I edit the shows.
Aren't you excited, listener? I wonder, and this is a true story. If you listen to each and every one of our episodes, right? And you're like, well, obviously someone else does. No, they don't. I don't. Ben doesn't. It is probably you. You are probably the one. And I'm not saying this to stroke your ego. It's a real thing. You are probably the only person on the planet who is listening to our episodes all the way through. That's a special thing, Ben, I have to say. I think it really is. And I mean,
well, they've certainly gotten to know
enough.
Us pretty well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think so.
Our mistakes.
I mean,
the things we say that are wrong.
What you get listening to the show is you get us. This is just us having a conversation. We're not trying to pretend like we're someone else.
I forgot.
Playing a character this entire time. Oh, how's it happening?
How's it happening, Ben? Okay. Next.
This is how it's happening.
Which episode is this?
376.
376. So, 377. 377. The prefix after the area code of my first phone number as a child. 377, Ben, we will start the episode with how's it happening? I will do it.
All right.
But
trying so hard to get that thing to make that a thing.
Between now and then, Ben, I have a request for you. You might be familiar with it. It's simply, Ben, that you keep it wrong. Don't be afraid to not know something, Ben.
Thank you, Paul. I'm never afraid to not know something. I'm pretty proud of not knowing things, in which case I bid you a very fond keep it wrong as well, and I will talk to you next week or in just a couple seconds.
Yep, and we still have about 40... No, we have about 20 seconds left on this, so I will just say this. When you're wrong, you know that you're wrong, you've been corrected, and therefore you're learning something.
I will just say this.
If you don't know that you're wrong, then okay.
No, keep going, and I'll say what I'm going to say when you're done.
Oh, no, that's it, Ben. That's it. We've reached the mark.
Verbal satiation. Keep it wrong, Paul. Talk to you next week.
Verbal satiation. Isn't it verbal saturation?
It could be.
Yeah.
It's also,
it doesn't matter.
Semantic, hey, let's do this. Semantic saturation.
One, two, three. Oh boy. Yeah, there's a lag. There's a lag going.
It's not bad.
All right. So talk to y'all later. Thanks.
Hey, and we're clear.